Welcome to The Rock Church. My name is Steele Crosswhite. I am one of the pastors here at The Rock. We apologize for how hot the lobby is this evening. I picked a great day to wear a long-sleeve shirt at church. But we are happy that you are here this evening. Tonight, we're going to continue on in our series through 1 and 2 Thessalonians. And tonight, I'm going to be teaching on chapters 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. The series is called Standing Firm. My message tonight is called Grace, Peace, Faith, and Love. And I'm excited to introduce 2 Thessalonians to you guys this evening. And I'm also eager to share with you guys some news as a church family that is happening with our church that's going to position all of us, particularly this location, in some positions of faith. And so I'm going to share some verses, and then really I think that God has gone before us with this message and picking these verses for you guys tonight, because we've got some news that I think we're going to need to apply these verses immediately. So let me go ahead and pray, ask God to bless our time, and we'll get into it. Lord, thank you for this evening. Thank you that it's true what Paul said, that though we are slain, we will praise you. God, thank you that you do use these things, these hardships, sufferings in our life, Lord, to bring us closer to you, to greater places of faith. We ask, Lord, that you would help us with that even this evening. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would speak through me despite my feeling weak tonight. I pray, God, that you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, would speak to your children that you brought here tonight, and that, God, by the power of your word, that you would speak to their hearts. And we also ask, God, that you would go before us as a church, that we would place our eyes on you, God, that you would help us to do just the next right thing. We commit this evening, this message, and our lives to you, Lord, in your name. Amen. Okay, so 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Just to recap, we've been going over this for the past month or so. Some of this might be covered for you already, but you remember that Thessalonica, that's the city, it was a capital of the Roman province of Macedonia, and it had a population over 100,000 people. It was a flourishing center of trade and philosophy. It was a free city. It was governed by local officials, and the city was committed to lots of different cults. There were the Pantheon, the Imperial cult, Egyptians cults. They were prominent in the city. There was a sizable population of Jewish people in the city of Thessalonica as well. And this letter of 2 Thessalonians was probably written from the city of Corinth, about 49 years after Jesus Christ died and rose again. It was written shortly after 1 Thessalonians was written, probably a few weeks, maybe a month or so after Paul and Silas and Timothy, as a ministry team, wrote to this church in this city. Here they are doing it again. So they're still together as a ministry team. They're in the city of Corinth. They're writing to the church that meets in Thessalonica. And like 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians has much of the same theme. It's talking largely about the second coming of Jesus. The Thessalonian church had accepted this false claim that the day of the Lord had come. They had been believing some lies about how Jesus had maybe already come back. And as a result, they were frightened. They were freaking out. The Thessalonians were also undergoing some intense persecution. They were suffering. It added to their confusion about maybe this really is the end. And Paul, Silas, and Timothy, seeing this, seeing that they were believing these false things, seeing that they were suffering, knew that they needed encouragement, so they wrote this letter. The church was also struggling with the problem of lazy Christians in their midst, refusing to work. They were simply exploiting the wealthier Christians and their generosity in order to avoid working. And so Paul wrote 2 Thessalonians for three major reasons. One, he wanted to reassure the church in Thessalonica about the day of the Lord that was coming, about the second coming of Christ. He wanted to also, too, strengthen this church in the face of persecution and hardship. And three, he wanted to deal with this problem that the church had of being lazy and a bit apathetic with their own living. And so he wrote 2 Thessalonians. Let's get into it now. It says this letter is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. They're a ministry team. We are writing to the church in Thessalonica, it's in that city, to you who belong. You belong to God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says this, may God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. And so just a few weeks have passed. Paul and Silas and Timothy, they're still together from the city of Corinth. They're writing to these Christians in the city of Thessalonica. And the first thing that they desire for them is grace and peace. He doesn't say, we're writing to you and we wish you fame. He doesn't say, I wish you fortune. He doesn't even say, I hope that you guys have a lot of pleasure in your church. He doesn't wish that you guys were a giant church. He says, what I want for you is grace and peace. You see, Paul understood, and so should we, this truth. Grace provides the enablement. In other words, grace allows for us to do everything within the will of God. Grace is the truth of God. Grace is the strength of God. Grace is the Holy Spirit inside of us. Grace is the gift of salvation. And what he's saying is, I wish for you that you would have this grace, this strengthening, so that you can accomplish the will of God. And peace gives serenity in every circumstance. And I appreciate the threading of wording here, because it's true, guys. The way that this is set up, grace and peace, we have to, as Christians, as people, first know God's grace before we can experience his peace. We need to know God's freedom. We need to know God's strength. We need to know God's plan before we can have peace. And what he's saying is, to this church that's undergoing these things, I want you to know the grace of Christ, and I want you to know the peace of the Father in Jesus Christ. And personally, guys, like I mentioned already, I think these verses are incredibly timely for us as a church concerning particularly this location and our future. And I share that because in a few minutes, I'm going to give you some family news. Now, if it's your first time here tonight, we are glad that you are here. But you kind of came on an interesting night where, as one of your pastors, I need to share with you, as one of your pastors, what's happening in our midst. And what I want you guys, those of you that call this church your church home, to experience is the same thing that Paul wanted the church in Thessalonica to experience. God's grace for yourself. I want you to extend grace to your church. I want you to give grace to one another. I want you to give grace to your pastors. And it's my utmost desire that you guys would then experience the peace of Jesus. This is what he's wishing for the church in Thessalonica. This is what I, as one of your pastors, is wishing for the church here tonight, that you would experience God's grace and peace. Paul says this, dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you, because your faith is flourishing and your love for one another is growing. I so appreciate the Apostle Paul's words here. We can't help thank God because your faith is flourishing, your love for one another is growing. In other words, he's saying, I thank God because your faith in him is growing and it results in a greater love for one another. Again, note the wording here, the order. First faith, then love. First grace, then peace. First faith, then love. There's this guy. He's got an awesome beard. C.H. McIntosh, he says this, faith puts us in contact with the eternal spring of love in God himself, and the necessary consequence, in other words, the fruit of that is that our hearts are drawn out in love to all who belong to him. Faith allows us to love those that are in Christ. And I've noticed this truth in my own life. Maybe you've seen this in your life. And again, there is a great weight and a miracle to the threading of the words. We know God's grace. We experience his peace. We trust in him. We have faith in him, in his plan. And then we love each other. That's how it goes. Grace, peace, faith, love. And the truth is whenever in my own life I've been the most explosive with my temper, or the edgiest, or the rudest, those times have come when I've placed my faith not in God's grace or in his plan. And then what happens in my life is that I have a lack of peace, and I'm harsh to God's people, especially those that are the closest to me. I have put my family at times through hell. I've put my co-pastors through hell, and through some of you through hell, when I'm not believing in God's grace and his plan, and putting my faith in him that results in peace. But when I have trusted in God's grace and walked in his presence and grown in faith, I've also grown in love. And so the question that we have tonight that we need to ask ourselves is this: where can you noticeably grow? Because we can grow in all these areas. All of us can grow in these areas, but where can you noticeably grow? Do you need to grow in your understanding of God's grace in your life? Not just, by the way, not just grace for salvation, okay, because that is absolutely true. Grace for salvation, to be saved. But beyond that, God's mercy, his kindness, his grace towards you. Do you need to understand that he has set you, in some ways, free? Free from the devil. Free from legalism. Grace. Do you understand his grace? Do you need to grow in that grace? Have you allowed it to turn your heart into being peace-filled? Do you need to grow in your faith and in your love? And honestly, guys, over the past several weeks, these things have been incredibly dear to me, because the truth is, God is gracious, and he gives peace. And it's true that faith in him results in love. It's kind of like a blanket for me. It really is. It's like a cloak. When we are covered in his grace, in the truth of his kindness and his tenderness and how he sees us as his children, when we are covered in that, we then allow his peace to fill our hearts. And we trust him more. And then we love his kids more. Grace, peace, faith, love. He says this, we proudly tell God's other churches, we proudly tell the other Christians about your endurance and your faithfulness in all of the persecutions and hardships you are suffering. Think about what's being said here. We are boasting to the other churches, the other Christians across the world, because of how you are suffering, because of the persecutions and your hardships and how you are handling those things. And the way that you handle those things, allow us to boast. And again, God's word is perfect at the right time. He tells this persecuted, disoriented church, your faithfulness, your endurance in persecution, in hardship, in suffering, all that you are facing has caused us to tell other people about you and to thank God because of how you are reacting and how you are enduring. And here's what I think this means right now. When we read these words, we need to understand that there are times of suffering as a church. Of course, there are times of suffering as an individual, but he's writing to the church here. There are times where a church suffers, where a church changes, where there needs to be endurance as a church and persecution and hardship. But what he is telling the saints here is that these are opportunities for faith, where we can respond in ways that allow for others to be thankful because of how we've reacted, because of how we've trusted, because of how we've known his grace, filled our hearts with his peace, placed our faith in his plan, and loved each other. And he's saying, what is happening to you makes me thankful and boast to the other churches, and they are thanking God because of you. It's true that it is hard, is what the Apostle Paul and Silas and Timothy are saying. It's true that there is suffering in the church. It's true that you are enduring. But your faith makes us boast about you. Look at how they did it. Look at how they endured. Look at how they suffered. Look at their persecution. Look at their reaction. Praise the Lord, says the other churches. And tonight, guys, I truly believe that these verses can impact us as a church family in an unbelievably real way. I truly believe that as Christians tonight, particularly a part of the Rock Church, we are going to have an opportunity to do a couple of things. The first thing, tonight, when you respond, you are going to have an opportunity to walk in God's complete and perfect and satisfying grace as his dearly loved child, because you belong to him. You're his kid, and he gives you grace, and he wants you to know his grace. And so tonight you're going to have an opportunity to experience that grace because you're his kid and because he really loves you and because you're really his child. I think, too, you will have an opportunity to experience his peace deep within your heart as his child. You can believe that God loves you. You can believe that he has plans for you. No matter what, He has what is best in store simply because you are his child. Just like Paul said, just like we were singing earlier, though you slay me, yet I will praise you. You work all things out for good, and when I know you and know that grace, I experience peace. You're going to have an opportunity to place your faith in this gracious, powerful God, and in so doing, you will be able to deeply love each other. Because each other is God's kids. This is real tonight. These aren't just words. These are marching orders for us. And though there may be times of hardship and endurance, you are going to have an opportunity, even tonight, to be a cause for joy for other churches across the entire world. And you say, really across the entire world? Yes, really across the entire world, because many of us really don't have any idea how much God has used this little church right here in Salt Lake City, Utah, to impact the entire world. And we'll have an opportunity to be a cause for joy in the other Christians who are watching. So now, let me get to some family news. Okay? And again, if this is your first time here tonight, here's what I want you to walk away with, okay? If this is your first time and you're coming here and you're not quite sure what this is all about, I want you to walk away with two things. Number one, we love Jesus, he loves us, and we love each other, okay? So that's what's important. If you're new tonight, this is what I want you to get when you see this or hear this family news. We take God's grace seriously in our life and his love seriously in our life, and we deeply love one another. So it's kind of like a family meeting tonight. So, for the past several months, we as pastors have been seeking God's direction on how we might grow as a church in our excellence in reaching Utah for the gospel, okay? The state, not just the city, but the entire state. Asking ourselves hard questions, things like this. Is our current model of church planting working well? Are we doing it well? The method that we've been following for the past several years, is it good? What's good about it? What can be better? We've been asking hard questions like that for the past several months. We've been asking questions like this. Is everyone on staff in their right places of gifting? Are they encouraged in their places? Not that we don't get discouraged sometimes as Christians. Obviously we do. But we need to look and evaluate, how are we doing in the places we've been placed? Are we encouraged where we are? We've been asking things like this. As a whole, when we look at the church, are we growing in faith? Are we growing in encouragement? Are we growing in grace and peace and love and faithfulness and fruitfulness? So we've been asking all these types of hard questions over the past several months. And in addition to us asking these questions and digging into some of these things, we got some surprising news from our landlords who owned this building. 2 weeks ago, Josh, you guys know him, he taught, I think, last week. And Mac, you may not know Mac as well. He was in our Provo church. He's in Draper now. They sat with our current landlords who own this building, the white building, as well as some of the other properties around this parking lot. And the landlords informed us that in a matter of 8 months, they are tearing this building down. And so in addition to all of these questions, and the staff and the pastors asking these questions, you guys also know that I took 6 weeks off with a sabbatical where I was able to, as one of your pastors, quiet my heart and really seek the Lord and hear from the Lord. And he spoke to me in very real and specific ways in regards to my own life. And I'm happy to share with you guys some of the things that I feel like the Lord taught me one-on-one in detail, more specifically tonight. I don't want to bore you with all those things, but if you're interested, I want to talk with you. All that to say, with the posing of these questions, with the news of demoing the building, with countless, countless hours of prayer, we've decided to respond to this news. And here's what our plan is. We've decided that the Salt Lake City Church is going to roll into our Draper location. Now, for those of you that don't know, our Draper location is bursting right now at the seams with new people. We opened a new building in our Draper location 2 years ago, less than 2 years ago, and it's just exploding. And as we were asking these questions, because Draper was growing so much, the pastors at that location were already kicking around this idea of starting a Saturday night service down there. And I'll explain these details in a minute. And though this is, guys, and it really is tremendously difficult news and personally very, very hard for me and for many of you because we've been here for 13 years, though it is tremendously hard, we genuinely believe that God is moving and will lead this church to tremendous good. And of course, there's going to be a time of grieving. Of course, as we're talking about these things, we're going to have informational meetings. Of course, we're going to attempt to answer as many questions as we can. But let me just share with you some things that I think, we think, will be good. As we're processing this kind of train that's coming our way, the news of the building and these questions that we've been asking and the plans that we feel like God has been laying on our hearts, really in a form less of like, here's our great vision, and more like, okay, Lord, you've brought some things to light. As we're responding to these things and saying, let's go to the Draper location, here's some things that are good that we think that can be for this church. The first thing you should know, as a church family, when we move to Draper, we can free up roughly about $120,000 a year to be used for greater reach for the gospel in Utah. Now, I want you to think about this. It costs us $120,000 as a church just to keep the electricity on and the air conditioning blowing a year. Can you imagine? Just dream for a second. Allow the news to kind of go to the side and think about what we can do as a church with $120,000 just a year. Think about how much money that is. Where we can imagine if we could take some of that money and sponsor 1,000 Compassion Kids. Or really help the homeless and the addicted in Utah beyond what we can do right now. Or really have greater outreach beyond just keeping these doors open. What this might do for Utah. Here's the other thing. We can take a much closer look at how we are positioned as a staff and make efforts to place people in their clear areas of gifting. Why is that important? Well, to make sure that your kids and your kids' kids and your kids' kids can continue to work the gospel in Utah in a sustainable way. And so this move is allowing us to look at our staff positions with a fine-tooth comb and say, is everybody positioned in a way that makes this long-term sustainable? For example, here's what it means for one of your pastors. When we make this move, though I still will be a pastor, I'm going to be moving into a primary role of leading music and regularly overseeing the rock music. Of course, I'm still going to be teaching, but that's what I started doing in 2003, and I'm so frickin' excited that I get to sing more and play my guitar more for the church. I'm excited that I get to do that, and I think it's a primary gifting that God has given me. And so I'm excited to move into that role. And there are conversations that are happening right now in regards to the other pastors and the staff to make sure they're in good roles. Here's the other thing. We will have an opportunity for refreshment. Listen to me. Listen. Those of you who have been leading and serving in this location for the past several years have expressed to us how bone tired you are. Some of you guys have been leading in Kids Rock and leading at greeting and doing the cameras and doing the cleanup and making the coffee, multiple things all at once in the hopes to reach other people for the gospel, and you're flat out tired. And if that is you, moving to Draper gives you an opportunity for rest and refreshment. Our desire as pastors is those that need encouragement can take a break from maybe leading your small groups or coordinating or serving in general, and you can come and simply be filled, that you can join this church and let God's word just kind of cover over you like water, You can be refreshed. You can take a break and say, Lord, you know my heart. I've been used for all these years. I am willing. I am able, but I am tired. And the Lord would look at you and say, just come. Come who are weary and heavy burden and get rest. So this is real for you. Now, likewise, or conversely, some of you tonight would like a chance to lead. Maybe you feel like you haven't served and you would like to serve. Maybe you want to lead a small group. In moving to Draper, you are going to have welcomed opportunities to do so, because it is true that Draper has lots of new people and we can use you. They also run small groups differently than we do down here at this location. They do what's called a free market small group. What that means is that if you have a passion maybe for biking, you could lead a biking small group and pray beforehand. Or maybe some of you guys like cooking, or maybe you like end times. Maybe that's your things, eschatology. Or maybe you're like, you know what? I just want to expositionally go through a book of the Bible. You can lead those things. Some of you guys have expressed to me, I'd love to do a men's Bible study or a dad's breakfast, or I'd like to be involved in a ladies' ministry. And like I mentioned, if you feel burned out and tired, this is not you. Just come and receive rest. But if you are eager to serve, please come and do so, because there are opportunities for you. You're going to have opportunities to meet new people. This is a good thing. We are Christians. We are bigger than this family. And it's true that Draper really is. A lot of you guys have been coming here for a lot of years, and when you think about Draper, what you think about is kind of a maybe a fuddy-duddy church a little bit. Or maybe you think of the old Sandy building, and maybe that's not you because you've never been there. But listen, I've been to the Draper location lots and lots of times, and it is really more multi-generational than this church. There are young people there, old people there, married people there, single people there, parents there, empty nesters, students, career-minded folks. You name it, they have it, and you and I are going to have an opportunity to meet new people and form new relationships. And that can be a good thing. Why? Because God uses the body to encourage us. Now, this is important for you guys to understand as well. You guys are going to have an opportunity to bless the Draper Church. You can bless them. How? Well, lots of ways. One is your unique understanding of the city of Salt Lake City. They're going to be blessed by your experiences. You can bless them because of your endurance, because of your faith, because of your faithfulness, because of your love that you have deeply shown, and the way that you have refreshed other people over the years. When you come to Draper, not only are you going to add to the uniqueness of that location, but you also, just by the very presence of you being there, will refresh them. You will. Trust me. And likewise, you know, the Draper Church is going to have an opportunity to bless you. They will. They will bless you. In some ways, maybe in ways that you don't even recognize yet. But here's the thing that's most valuable to me. When we think about this move to Draper, okay, you guys are going to have an opportunity to truly seek the Lord concerning how you personally should proceed moving forward. This is incredibly important for you to understand. You guys will need to get before the Lord on your own. We have plans. We're responding to what God has shown us, to what He's laying on our hearts as pastors. We think He's given us some ideas, but you guys need to go before God. And some of you are going to need to ask the Lord whether or not you want to use this opportunity to maybe go to a new church. Now, it goes without saying that because we're a family, because we love each other, our desire as pastors, my desire as one of your pastors, would be that everybody would come to Draper. We'd all kind of move together with groupthink. But you must seek Jesus. You must come to your own conclusion. Don't make a split decision. Seek the Lord. Fast. Pray. Some of you guys have already kind of made this. Yep, lots of you I've talked to already. Like, we're excited to go to Draper. This is going to be a really good thing. Some of you guys need to make the decision about whether or not you need to go to a Sunday morning service. Because there's lots of people. You know, this church is growing and changing over the years. There's lots of you that have young kids. And maybe you're thinking, you know what? I want to go to a Sunday morning service so I can have my Saturday night at 9:30 or 11:15. Some of you need to decide, as we're going to launch this new Saturday night service alongside with Draper, if you even want to go to Saturday night at all. And if so, you need to come with expectation of renewal. But here's the big idea. No matter, listen to me, no matter what decision you make, if you are following Jesus, if you are seeking His grace, if you are seeking His plan and placing your faith in Him, here's the best news. You won't fail because you're His kid. You know His grace, you have His peace, you place your faith in Him, and it overflows in love. No matter what you decide, if you have postured yourself before the Lord to say, God, lead me, He will. He will. And our current plan then, right now, is to ask you guys, seek Jesus, pray, get advice. Seek Jesus, pray, get some more advice, and draw your own conclusions for your faith and your family. And in the next several weeks, we as your pastors, we want to help you. We want to ask you. We want to hear from you. Where do you want to go? If you decide you want to go to another church and God is maybe this has been brewing in your heart for a while and you say, you know what? I think this is the time that maybe God can use me as a trained disciple in the Lord to go strengthen another church from the Rock Church. What a blessing you will be. Imagine, you know the greatest gift my life can really be is your life. Some of you might say, you know what? It's really hard. I love the church. I love the Rock Church. I think God wants me to go over here. What a blessing to that pastor that your life would be. And when you know that that's the church you want to go to, let me know or Tony know or Austin know or Josh know or one of us know. And guess what we're going to do? Pick up the phone and call that pastor and say, guess what? So-and-so is in your church and they're frick-frackin' awesome. Do good. We'll do that. Maybe some of you guys are like, no, we're totally not doing that. We're a family. We're going to stick together. We want to be together. We're going to go together. I love this idea. Or maybe I'm wrestling with this idea, but I'm going to go. Well, from there, pick which service. And then we're going to help you. If you're going to go on Saturday, here's all the Saturday people. We're going to make sure you all know each other. If you're going to go at 9:30, here's all the 9:30 people. If you're going to go at 11:15, here's all the 11:15 people. So when you show up, it's not going to be like shell shock, like I'm a total stranger in my own church. We will help you with that. We'll have informational meetings in the next couple of weeks about what this might mean for you and try to answer more of your questions. But you're going to need to pray and seek the Lord and start making some decisions and let us know. So from here, this is what it means for you. We are planning on having our last Saturday night service September 10th, a little over a month away. We want to launch small groups together with Draper. And this service is going to be a time of celebration of what God has done. Some of you guys have never been, you've been saved in this church, gotten married in this church, had your babies in this church, been baptized in this church, and this busted, broken, dirty, danky, stinky, hot warehouse is your home. And you're going to need to say, God has done so many good things here. He changed my life. And we'll celebrate it and what He plans on doing with your life. But it's also going to be a time to grieve because it is sad. This is sad. It's a new beginning, and with new beginnings and change, there's always a bit of sadness. And so what that means is a church, like the Apostle Paul would tell the church in Thessalonica, we want to trust God well and we want to grieve well. So after the September 10th service, here's what we're going to do, and I can't believe I'm a pastor and I'm going to tell you this. After that last service, here at the Salt Lake City location, we're just going to cancel church. And we'd encourage you guys to take a couple of weeks off. I mean, you don't have to. Maybe that's a time for you to go, you know what? I know we haven't launched this new Saturday night service yet, but we're going to go down to Draper and just check it out and see that it only takes about 20 minutes to drive on a Saturday night or Sunday morning. Or maybe you're just like, you know what? I'm so tired. I totally don't want to go to church. I need to go up into the mountains. I need to go camping a little bit. I need to get with Jesus, hang out. Don't come to church for a couple of weeks. From there, our plan is to launch this new Saturday night service at the Draper location on October 1st, okay? The Draper location, the Sunday morning folks right now are also going to be deciding about whether or not that's an opportunity for some of them to be a part of that new service. Because there are so many people coming, some people might want a Saturday night service. And so there's a lot of decisions that need to be made individually before the Lord. We want to help you, But people need to seek Jesus. And it's important to note this. The Saturday night service in Draper is not going to be a Salt Lake City Saturday night service exclusively, okay? Many of you are going to come to that service, but you should realize it's going to be an additional Draper service. It's going to build opportunities for church oneness. That's kind of our heart right now. And we want to do some things more excellently. Now, some of you guys have received this email. If you're a leader in the church, we had a meeting last Saturday in the morning with all of the pastors to talk through some of these things. And so maybe tonight's not news for you, but I want to read this email to you that Josh sent to some of the leaders at this location after this meeting, okay? Because it expresses my heart, his heart, and our heart. He said this, "Good afternoon, Salt Lake City Saints. As your pastors, we appreciated your taking time out of your Saturday morning to hear how God has been leading us over the last couple months. The meeting was hard, but good. I've personally had a number of conversations," Josh said, "with some of you over the last few days. I've appreciated the tears and the working through of your emotions and the faith that is being demonstrated. This is a big deal for the Salt Lake City location. God has done a mighty work there over the past 13 years, and God will continue to move in the future. But there is a grieving of the closing of this chapter. Ultimately, over the course of the past 2 months, God led the pastors to a unanimous decision to merge the Salt Lake City location into the Draper location and launch a new Saturday night service in the fall. There have been many hours of talking and seeking counsel and praying," Josh said, "but I take a lot of peace in the fact that God brought the pastors to a place of unity in this decision. There were many pros and cons for the different options, and there were lots of pros and lots of cons." He said, "I'd be happy to talk to any of you individually about our thought process," which expresses my heart, of course, as well. Josh wrote, "You are the leaders and the core team of Salt Lake City. I would extend that to this church. This is you. And we invite you to seek God's heart on your personal involvement. We are a family. And so obviously, we want all of you to become the nucleus of a new Saturday night service in Draper. Every one of you is invited to be a part of this new initiative. But God interacts with us corporately and individually. And we understand that God sometimes uses changes like this to lead us in a new direction. With that said, you need to hear there is total freedom in the Lord to seek God's will on this. Maybe He wants you to switch locations or services or even churches. We would love to talk to you about how God is leading you and what you are considering, and that is true. If some of you decide to leave this church, as much as we would miss you, we understand that God leads His children individually, and we want to be a part of this process with you. Like I said, we will usher you into other churches." Josh wrote, "Saturday morning was a lot to process. Please pray, seek counsel, ask questions, talk to your pastors, and make a decision in faith. Because honestly, at the end of the day, all that matters is faith expressing itself in love. I would be happy to talk to any of you personally, as would any of the pastors at The Rock," which of course is true. Now, just one thing to note. My friend reminded me to mention this tonight. At the Draper location, a lot of you guys come here and you don't have a way to get to church. And so you take advantage of the track station that drops you off here. And if that is you, we love that you're here. If you feel like you have no place to go but The Rock Church, listen, you are welcome at our Draper location. And the tracks goes, I mapped it out, less than 2 minutes of a walk from our Draper location, the track station is there, on 114th South and 700 East. So you can take tracks on a Saturday night and go there, or Sunday morning and go there and walk. Less than 2 minutes of a walk, really. Okay? So you need to know that. Obviously, you guys have questions. We want to be available to you. Here's what I would ask of you. This is a new beginning. God has brought to light some certain things. This is news about the building to us. We are, in some ways, responding. Okay? So we may not have all of the answers yet, but we want to seek Jesus with you. So please, if you have questions, talk to us. Process, pray, talk. Let me pray, and then you guys can start doing just that. Lord, we thank you for tonight. Thank you that the Apostle Paul and Silas and Timothy's words ring true with us tonight. Lord, this isn't just a message that falls on flat ears. Lord, you have spoken to us. We want your grace to fill our hearts. We want to know your grace. We want to know your freedom. We want to know your strength. We want to know your mercy. We want to know your love. And we want your peace to fill our hearts. And as that happens, God, we want to extend faith to you, in you, for your plan, for your protection, for your truth, and walk in your promises. And as we walk in that faith, Lord, we want to love each other better. Help us to do that. That's what these words asked of the Thessalonica church. That's what these words ask of us. And Lord, we just react in front of you. In some ways, God, this is just really sucky news. In some ways, God, this is just the worst thing that can happen in our lives. And I know, God, that some people are here tonight and they're just pissed off at the whole thing. And they're mad about it and frustrated at it. And God, I know you see it. And I know you care about that. And I know you care about them. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak peace to their hearts, that you would speak softly over them and sing songs of joy over them, and that they would remember, Lord, that ultimately they're in your hands. And Lord, some of us are here tonight, and we're so excited about a new beginning. We're so excited about going to this new place for church oneness, to be in a place where we can maybe serve in a more excellent way. Some of us are excited to get refreshment. Some of us are excited to serve. And Lord, we just want to give that all to you too. Work in our hearts. Help us to do the next right thing. Lord, we just humbly stand before you. I do as one of your pastors and admit, God, we don't really exactly know what's happening. In some ways, we're just kind of reeling. And you know, God, as leaders, we just want to have all the answers, and yet we don't. It's kind of like Moses in the cloud in the Old Testament. All the Israelites are camping out for a couple of days. Maybe they've been for a while, and all of a sudden you start to move. And everybody's packing up their tents, and they're trying to go to the next place because you're leading them. And that's not comfortable. And I know Moses and Joshua and Aaron, of course, they were like, we don't know what's happening all the time. We just know that God is moving. And Lord, as one of your pastors at this church, as your under-shepherd, Lord, we just admit that we just want to put our eyes on you. That's what we want to do. And I thank you, God, for an opportunity to stand before the church in some ways and just be totally transparent and humble. We're learning. We want to figure it out. There's things that we've done good, things that we've done bad. But Lord, you have a new beginning. And so we're seeking your face. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that in that, you would work and move in our hearts. And as pastors, God, I pray that you would give us clear ideas. Please, Jesus, speak to us so that we could lead your most precious possession, your children. Help us not to screw this up. We don't want to mess this up. And we trust that we won't because you're our God. And so, Lord, we just kind of hold on to your hand. We hold on to your promises. And we extend truth. And we ask, Lord Jesus, it's like Psalm 139. You go before me, you go behind me, and you place your hand of blessing on my head. You were there in the future. You were there in the past. You're here right now. And Lord, David prayed. He said, search my heart, O Lord. See if there's a hurtful way in me and lead me to the place everlasting. God, I ask that same thing for our church. Lord, you know our hearts. If there are things that are wrong here, expose them. But Lord, lead us to the way everlasting. God, we pray that right now would be an opportunity for this entire church, for the next several weeks, for the next month, and so on from there. God, that this would deepen in us as a church and as your kids more faith than we've had ever. And not just faith, God, excitement. Lord, you can do that. We pray, Lord Jesus, that we would walk away encouraged, excited, fearful, but yet, Lord, knowing you are strong. God, we commit the Rock Church to you. You are bigger than this church. You are bigger than any church in this valley. You are bigger than our ideas. You are bigger than our plans. You are the God that spoke and the whole world exploded into life. We put our faith in you. It's beyond our momentary plans. And it rests in your almighty hands. We thank you. Lord, you tell us that faith is what counts. Faith is what counts.
Thank you that you've asked every single person tonight and in our Rock churches really, really to walk in faith, really to seek you. Faith is what counts. You tell your children, here it is. You don't know how to do that? Here it is. Walk in faith. Husbands and wives, parents and kids, friends, help us to walk in faith. We love you, Lord. We're scared, but eager. We say these things in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.